and welcome to today's podcast that is part two of a series covering how to drive effective change in organizations. APQC is the world's foremost authority in benchmarking, best practices, process and performance improvement, and knowledge management. With more than 1,000 member organizations worldwide, APQC provides the information, data, and insights organizations need to support decision-making and develop internal skills. This is Madison Lundquist, Principal Research Lead for Process and Performance Management at APQC. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to APQC podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Part two of this change management series will cover how to manage change. We are again joined by APQC's very own Linda Broxick, our Knowledge Management Principal Research Lead, as well as one of our resident change management subject matter experts. All right, so we've talked enough, I think, about change fatigue. Let's move on to some different change management methodologies. You mentioned earlier there's various trainings you can do, different ways you can approach change. So what methodologies do organizations use to manage change? And should they adopt a particular set, or do you think maybe merging a few together and find, like, how do you figure out what works best for your organization?
That's a good question. So, and we actually do have some research at APQC that talks about like different methodologies, which is actually pretty fascinating. I thought it was fascinating to see, because I have my own experiences, but also just seeing what other companies are doing is fantastic. So of course you have your, you know, your ProSci ADCAR methodology. One that wasn't actually in our research is one that's called William Bridges, which I'm very familiar with. And it's the concept of managing transitions. Mm-hmm. So thinking of change as a transition instead of an event. And sometimes we get hung up on the event of the change, but what's really hard is what happens after the event.
The phase twos that never
and we're happened. Going and we're going through the transition of, okay, now I have a new process, my new technology. Now what? What does this new normal feel like? And it's the transition process. So that was one that wasn't even part of our research. So something for us to do in the future potentially. But you've got your Cotter's eight steps. You've got McKinsey's model of influence that's out there, and a multitude of others, right? You could name them all. The Kubler-Ross curve, which to me is kind of the foundation, which is talks about the change curve, right? Of what people go through when they're dealing with change. So those are all phenomenal models, and every company will take their own approach as they should, right? It should fit. I always say the model should fit the culture of the organization that's best for them. Sometimes it's just who's leading the change management capability and what their experience is. And they bring that into the company, and that's great. I have noticed though that in our research, and also from what I've experienced, is a lot of companies want to establish their own way of thinking about change. So a lot of people have been to all those trainings for those different organizations, and they take the best of those pieces and parts, and they say, how are we going to talk about and manage change at our organization? Honestly, I don't know if I can say that's the best or the worst way to approach it, but I will say it's the most common way from what I'm seeing lately, right?
According, our survey said that 38% were internally developed. So everybody has the best way to do it.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. It's your own best way. And you know, I like that, because I've been to several of those different changing methodology trainings, and I get something out of each of them. I have my favorite pieces and parts from all of them. I love the concept of transitions, like I said, with William Bridges. I love that the influence model is there for McKinsey, because what is change? We're trying to influence a new way of doing things. I love the ADCAR model from ProSci, because it's super simple to remember. And when someone asks me about change, I can get on a whiteboard and I can draw out ADCAR, right? So there's a lot of advantages to all those different things. In my most recent company, we actually did create our own version of a change management methodology. And it was a lot of fun. And it was using words that made sense to our company and our industry. And then we built some tools and capabilities around it. And guess what? We pulled tools and templates from all those different methodologies. And we used what we thought worked best and were simplest and easy for our change managers, as well as our employees, to be able to pull from, so they could get better at change. So that's amazing. One more thing I will say from a methodology perspective, those are specific change methodologies, but one of the biggest components of understanding how to manage change in an organization, I think, also has to do with leadership. And sometimes I think the methodologies, they do focus on leadership, but they're not going to teach you great leadership capabilities necessarily within those. Some of them have more than others, and that's okay. But getting the change component embedded in your leadership development activities in your company, I think is a huge win for companies as well. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the change practitioners, it's not just about the people, but it's about the leaders in the organization understanding that they ultimately are driving the change that's happening. So knowing how to lead from a change perspective, as opposed to a hierarchical or a directive approach, very different and extremely beneficial to the organization if they can think about what they're doing, that it's impacting people on a daily basis. And they have the patience and the empathy, right, to be able to lead from that perspective with that kind of, I'll say, servant leadership mindset, mm-hmm. right? We're here to help serve you. Yes, we're here to run a business, but we're here to serve you so that you can do your job the best you can possibly be and get the best business results.
Yeah.
So,
or even experiencing the change with your team.
Absolutely. Yes.
A lot too.
Walking a day with your employees, yep. right? Instead of looking at it from afar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a great point.
APQC's change management, we don't call it a methodology per se, but we have our process. And you said simple is good a little bit earlier. And we have our four step. It's just plan, design, implement, and sustain.
Yep.
And I think that speaks to a little bit of the transition version of change, because that sustain part is so critical mm-hmm. in a change management methodology.
Agreed. Yes. And I love, you know, I like, there's a sustain step in most all methodologies, mm-hmm. but it's still, are we going to talk about the fact that a lot of people don't actually do the sustain part? You know, and the other thing I like to think about is that sustain is also a great way to think about it, but I also like to think about it as evolve. Because once a change is in place, we don't really just want to sustain it. Mm-hmm. We want to continue to improve it
yep.
and evolve it over time to become even better than what we thought it could be the day that we implemented it. Mm-hmm. Right. So I like to think about it as sustainment and evolvement as well. So maybe we think about adding some capability into our own change model as we go forward, but that's really what sustainment means though. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean sustain it as is. It means sustain it and continually improve it right along
Correct.
The way. So.
Yeah. So for a change management methodology to work, the organization should be ready.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily have to be ready, because sometimes the change is thrust upon you per right. se, like a pandemic. So how do you assess if the organization or the team is ready for a change?
There are, I think, a multitude of ways to assess whether an organization is ready for change. There are literally change assessments mm-hmm. that exist out there in different methodologies. And I actually do, that is one assessment that I actually do find very helpful, because it's kind of a, whether you use it from a specific methodology or you create your own, whatever that looks like, but walk through a series of questions that you can answer for your organization. Things like, is this change something that is welcome? Or is this change something that's going to be difficult for people to take on because it's so different mm-hmm. or it wasn't their idea? How well has change been managed in the past in your organization, and how are employees going to feel about something like this again? Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, yeah. could depend on the department, mm-hmm. could depend on what the change is. So just understanding what the change is and that topic of change and whether that's something that's going to be well received or not, you need to know that. You also need to know, again, if you've never managed change effectively in the past, you have to be able to assess why or why not. And what are we going to do differently this time? But knowing that current state, it's just like process improvement. You have to understand the current state before you can then identify the gaps associated with it. And the goodness of a readiness assessment is that if you think about it just in, I'll say a quantitative factor, mm-hmm. and you give yourself a score, that score will help tell you how much time do you really need to spend focusing on very specific change management things, like your communication plan might need to be 5 times more robust than it was Correct. For the last yeah. change because of the nature of this change. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're going to experience a lot of resistance. So you're going to have to put some time into your project schedule mm-hmm. or your initiative schedule to be able to allow conversation and coaching around the resistance areas that you're going to experience, right? Those are just some examples. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's an entirely new skill set that's required.
Yeah.
You're going to need an extensive amount of time to be able to build and deliver and assess whether the training and the capabilities are actually going to be, you know, how long that takes for an organization. So it always depends on it. So knowing what that is when you start is going to help you to develop a very effective plan. Mm-hmm. And then the hardest part about having mm-hmm. a change readiness assessment that's really powerful is getting people to buy into that, because the company might say, we need this in 90 days. And you might do an assessment and say, but we need 120 days, or we need 6 months, or we need a year to do this for these reasons. If you have a good way of assessing change, you have a better chance at making that case and getting that extra time or those capabilities put in place to then ensure that your change is going to be effective. So it might not be, it's a long-term gain is really what it is, right? They want the short-term gain, but you're going to help them understand that for the long-term, it's best if we do this and maybe extend it a little bit. It's a difficult case to make, but once you can do it, and again, if you have the data to back it up, right? It's very powerful, but I don't think you can do a change project if you don't know what the readiness of the team or organizations being impacted, where they're at in their change journey. Right. So,
and if you don't, doing the assessment at least gives you something tactical to take to leadership. If you have to manage up or say something about how much longer it's going to take to get a change, or you want us to do these 5 changes and this number 3 is going to take us a lot longer. So is there another one we could take off maybe? So it, at least it gives you something to work from.
Helps you with priorities. Like you said, could be that that's where a priority shift has to happen, because if the data is accurate and they say, oh, we had no idea it was going to take this long. So maybe this one goes on next year's objectives, you know? So, and sometimes even if you have a readiness assessment, you might still be asked to do that change anyway.
At least you know what you're getting into, right?
At least you know what you're getting into, and hopefully you can do enough to help make the change be successful. But we're all faced with the fact that we'll have shorter timelines or less resources to do.
Do more with less and less time.
Exactly. But at least if you know, you can get in front of it quickly, and you can try to get some things put in place that will help you get through it that much more effectively.
And if you already have that change management toolkit, per se,
correct.
You know which tools to pick out of that toolkit based on your readiness assessment.
Absolutely.
I like that. Thank you everyone for listening to the podcast. That was part 2 of our conversation with Linda on how to drive effective change in organizations. Be sure to go back and listen to part 1 of the conversation and look out for parts 3 and 4 coming soon. Once again, I'm Madison Lundquist. To learn more about our research, please visit www.apqc.org, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.